Mr. Gary did a little bit of figuring. So if you got a 9-to-5 job, whatever that's like, I don't know. I've never had a 9-to-5 job. But at 9 a.m. Monday morning to 5 p.m. Friday, that amounts to 104 hours until the weekend, from 9 o'clock that Monday morning until Friday when you get off work. So you got 104 hours to wait. However, if you're going to get 8 hours of sleep at night, that's going to come up to 32 hours worth of sleeping from that time. So you take that out. Actually, from 9 o'clock in the morning, you only have 72 hours of wake time to wait for the weekend. That sounds a little bit better. You can be a little more patient for it. But anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. Just, you know, we think, gosh, look at the weekend to get here. But if you have that kind of a job, you only got 72 hours of wake time to wait for it. So anyway, we're going to talk about patience tonight. Some people, that's almost a bad word because, you know, like I said, I told them, so in King James Version, lots of times it's referring to long suffering. So we're thinking, you know, when we think of patience, sometimes we're thinking, oh, yeah, we suffer. We got to wait so long. But, you know, many translations in the Bible for patience and in the King James, it does use the words that you're going to like a little bit better. And it means it's basically the same thing. Endurance, steadfast, and perseverance. Sounds a lot better than the word patience, doesn't it? So, you know, when we're standing in faith, you're going to have to do some enduring, some things. You're going to have to hold steadfast at times. And if we're going to wait it out, we're going to have to persevere. We're going to have some perseverance. And so those words sound a whole lot better than patience. And look at this. Just like Pastor, I have a pad. This is my iPad. Mine's just old school. Let's go to a scripture we're all very familiar with. It's in James. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. I want to start out with here tonight. I'll read this out of the King James. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work," I'm going to say complete work, "that you may be perfect or mature and entire, wanting nothing." So, evidently, patience is going to be a good quality when we're standing in faith and facing our trials. You know, James here, he's not saying it's joyful when we're going through these trials, but he says we're going to count it all joy. And I believe once you learn to grow and develop patience, you're going to have a lot better time and a lot easier time of counting things all joy when you're facing those trials, as we're going to find out here. In NIV says something too. It's pretty much the same. Romans 5, 3 and 4 says, "We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope." So what's this mean about having this character? Well, I do not know how Pastor keeps this thing on his ear. I always have trouble. But we're talking about character. It's a sustained strength to say no to those things that are harmful in our lives and yes to the things of Christ. We say yes to the promises of Christ. And you can be patient because you know, according to 2 Corinthians 1:20, says, "For all the promises of God in him, in Jesus, is yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God." So when we develop that patience, we can withstand, we can persevere, which during these times of trials and tribulations, we can persevere and know that at the end we're going to receive what God has for us. You know, our faith walk, or our Christian walk, say, is going to take patience. I mean, it's not our walk is not a sprint. It's what people say it's marathon. You know, Paul refers to it, you know, when he talks about that he has fought the good fight, he's finished my race or my course, I have kept the faith. Well, how many knows that Paul had some things that he had to endure, that he had to have patience through, that he had to persevere through, and he relates it to having a race, you know. We got to be patient in our walk. You know, now, in this day and age, you know, everything, we want it right now. I mean, we're in an age that, boy, I can order something on Amazon and have it the next day. We expect to have things and answers quick. We want it now. But this is more of a marathon that we're in. You know, when I was younger, much younger, you know, I was a track guy, and I did the sprint thing, which I was no good at the 50-yard dash or the 100-yard dash. I did the 400-meter, which is still a sprint. It's just a little bit longer sprint. It's one time around the track. Well, I could do that, and, you know, it didn't take too long to get to the finish line. You know, if you're good in the 400-meter, the goal is to get it under 50 seconds. I never met that goal. That's fast, actually. But, you know, the people that, the college people and professionals can get down there even into the 40s, I think. But, you know, I was more like just over 60, over a minute, you know, more of what I did. But anyway, I could do that, but I tell you what, I tried cross country. Whole different story. Cross country, I mean, you're going up hills and down valleys and through obstacles, maybe through some water things. I remember we went out to it was at the golf course, you know, and it's hilly, and there's a little stream that we ran through, and you know, I made up my mind right then, this is not for me. I need something flat to run on. I don't like running up hills, don't like to do that, but, you know, during our faith walk, you know, there's uphill battles that we're going to go through. There's valleys we're going to go down through, and it's going to take some patience when we're believing God through these ups and these downs and going through these things, that we're going to have some patience and wait on some things. We're going to have to endure some things. We're going to have to hold steadfast through some things. So how do we develop patience? Well, in Colossians 3:12, it says, to put on or to clothe yourself with patience. So that gives me the idea that there's something that, you know, we're going to have to do. I mean, just like when you're putting on your clothes, it just doesn't automatically happen. You got to put one leg in here and then the other leg in here. You're going to have to put your clothes on in the morning. Isn't that right, Emily? Unless you're just going to stay in your pajamas all day, right? That is, if you got pajamas on when you go to bed. But you're going to have to put things on, right? So, you know, in Galatians 5:22, you know, it does say that one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. But we're going to have to develop that. We do have the Holy Spirit there. He's going to help us. He's going to stand alongside us, with us, to develop those patience. So anyway, I come up with some things on how do we develop our patience. Well, number one, understanding that God's timing is not our timing, believe it or not. His timing is always, everybody say always. His timing is always the right timing. In 2 Peter 3:8, it says, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Wow. You know, I got to think about that. a day, the Lord is like 1,000 days. Kind of made me think back to Genesis, you know. Each day he created something. No wonder on the seventh day he had to take a rest, because, you know, it was like 6,000 days, you know, 6,000 years to him, you know. I'm just joking. That don't make a... But you know, we always want things on our time. Like I said, we want it now. But that's not the way God's timing is. And you know, I've come to find out that God's timing is always the right timing. It made me think about a few things, you know, in my life that's happened. And actually, I didn't even think about this until I was actually doing this. One of the examples I definitely thought about, but it's just like when, you know, I went down to Bible college. You know, we had thought about that at some time, that maybe we'd go there. Well, when, you know, the Lord called me to go, and we went at that time. And, you know, looking back, that was a great time for us to go. The kids just, you know, the last one just got out of school. So, you know, we was able to go down there. And then after going down there, coming back, you know, the Lord told us to go to Ames, and we didn't know why necessarily. We just knew that's what he told the both of us. You know, we were supposed to go to Ames. Well, you know, you start figuring in your own head what you're going back for. You know, I'm thinking, well, you know, the church I belong to, they aren't there anymore. So, you know, I went there. I went through pastoring and had the pioneering class. So I'm thinking, well, maybe we're going to pioneer a church in Ames. Maybe that's what we're supposed to do. God never told me to do that. He never told me to do that. That's just my thinking. Well, you know, it turns out, though, you know, Deb's father passes away. And so it turned out to be a good time, because we ended up being there, able to help with her mother and do things. And if we would have waited and not went and thought we was going to go at some later date, well, you know, we would have never left her mother there. We probably would have never went to that time. And then thinking back too, you know, it's the right time. We come here. I get hooked up with Pastor Brent and Adrian. I'm here at church. I would have never been up here ministering to you today if I didn't make that step at that time, because that was the right time God had for that to happen. That's my belief. And same way with the house deal. You know, we was driving back and forth to Ames, coming to church all the time. And, well, our desire was to be here, moved to Ankeny long before we ever did. You know, we had some long suffering to go through. Because, you know, we was actually at one time driving back and forth just to church three times a week. And then, you know, of course, we had kids up here too. So it was their desire, but it turned out to be the perfect timing to get the house that we're in, just exactly what we wanted. And I believe that was all the right time, God's timing. I mean, we could have stepped out and tried to do it on our own earlier, and I don't believe it would have been right. We're happy with where we're at. We saw a deer this morning again. We just love our place. So it was just what we had been desiring for a long time. Galatians 6:9, it says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for at the proper time," say the proper time.
Proper time.
Not my time. "At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." You know, if we don't develop our patience, it's easy. And I think a lot of people, you know, they're standing in faith for things, and they just get impatient and get weary and tired and stop before they receive exactly what they're waiting for. So, kids, why don't you come back up here? It's kind of like this. Come on up here, kids. Emily, you are going to be right here. You are what we're believing for. You are the prize. You are the victory, okay? Austin, come on up here, Roman. Can you get feisty a little bit?
What?
Could you keep Mr. Gary away from her?
Sure.
Okay. Roman, how about you come on up here? I needed someone feisty. Roman, you be here. And I tell you, I could use one more. How about Addie? Why don't you come on up here? It's going to be easy peasy for you. Yeah, because you're going to be easy. So, I love object lessons. So, it's something visual. It's simple, but it might help you remember some things. So, we go back to James, you're going to have trials. But you're going to have some perseverance, some endurance, and some patience to get through those. Well, you might be believing for something, and a little trial comes up to you. You all are trials. You're a trial. So the first trial comes up your way, and you're believing, you're being patient for it, and you get through that trial real easy. It's an easy trial, not no big thing. So you're still standing in faith. Sorry, but you're easy, okay. And then you're going along, still believing, having some patience, and you come upon another little trial. Well, this one's a little tougher. It takes a little bit of time. But eventually, it's definitely a little bit longer, and you're really starting to try on your patience. But you end up get through it. And then you come across this other trial, and you're thinking, Lord, really? I've been believing, I've been doing everything you ask, and here's this big trial that's so much bigger to get through before I get to my promise. And so I'm pushing, I'm going to try to get through. You keep me from her, okay? You keep me from her. Man up, buddy. Keep me from good. So he's pushing. I'm trying to get to her, but you know what? I'm just growing weary. I just can't get to it. So you know what? I'm quitting. I'm giving up. And here it is. All I had to do is get through one more little thing, and I could have had the victory, the prize. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. But I never got there because I just gave up. All right, kids. I told you I'd get you something here. I got some suckers in here. There you go. Bring on the sugar. Oh, got one more. Oh, yeah, Chloe's in it. So sometimes we just give up. You never know when the victory's going to be. It might just be right around the corner there. If I just stood a little bit longer, I could have got to the prize, the thing that I've been believing for. Yeah. Boy, he was feisty. He knocked my...
Good job. Good job. Awesome.
Talking about...
Well, that's completely off. All right. Pastor, never let me preach again. I'm tearing up this equipment. So Hebrews 10:36 says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will. Everybody say, you will. You will receive what he has promised. So we just need to, I'm just going to hold that thing here. That's well, let's take a look at some examples in the Bible where people had to wait for God's timing to receive the promise. Abraham.
I knew it.
I mean,
it's always Abraham.
Yeah, it's always Abraham. 25 years for God to fulfill the promise to give him that son. You know, Hebrews 6:15, and they're talking about Abraham there. Said, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You know, what about Noah? I mean, hundreds of years he had to wait. Joseph, 13 plus years of enduring trouble. You know, he's sold into slavery, of course, by his brothers. He's wrongfully accused. He's tossed into prison. You know, his patience and endurance, though, was rewarded through when he became Pharaoh's second in command. David, well, it was about 15 years, give or take, from the time David was anointed by Samuel before he actually was became officially king. And for you ladies, you know, Hannah. Now, Hannah, she had every reason to lose patience with God. I mean, she's been barren. She's childless. And on top of that, her husband's other wife is harassing her all about it. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the Bible's like, we got polygamy, we got incest, there's so much evil and stuff and homosexuality. We got it all in there. People think the Bible's like this maybe, you know, this really nice little book, but yeah, there's everything in there, isn't it? But anyway, back to the deal. Hannah, she prayed to the Lord for a child, and because of her faith and because of her patience, God gave her Samuel. And that's one thing about being patient. Doesn't mean you don't do anything. You know, you see here, be still before the Lord. And some people think, well, I'm just going to stand around, sit and do nothing, be patient. But no, she prayed. The Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. You know, when we're being patient and, you know, waiting on the Lord, we still need to do some things. One thing, we need to be praying about it, still believing and praying to the Lord, speaking to the Lord about whatever we're believing for. And if you're, for us, if you're believing for healing too, you know, there's things in the natural that you need to do and can do while you're still believing. Doesn't mean you're out of faith. You know, it's Deb back there, for instance. She's been dealing with her knee here lately, and she just went to the specialist here yesterday and they gave her a cortisone shot to relieve some of the pain. But she's still believing for and standing for a complete healing in that knee. You know, God can still use doctors, and so don't think that you're not standing in faith and when you still need to see a doctor about some things. I look back there at Brian. I need to see a dentist, but I don't think God's going to heal all these teeth of mine, but of course, I guess I should be believing for that, huh? Psalms 5:3 in the NIV says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. You know, while we're having patience, we need to be waiting and we need to be expecting. You know, Hannah, just like talking about Hannah, they're having a child. You know, when you're talking about, you know, a woman that's pregnant, you know, you've maybe heard the term, she's expecting. Well, what is this lady expecting? Well, she's expecting in about 9 months or whatever. She's going to have a baby, right? She's believing that she's going to have a baby tonight. And that's the way we need to be with whatever we're believing. We need to have our expectant. That we're going to expect to receive whatever we're believing for. And that helps us when we're waiting patiently. How do we develop patience? Number two. So number one, we know God's time is not our timing. His time is going to be the perfect timing. Number two, We need to appreciate how patient God is with us. Have you ever needed God to be patient with you? I mean, in the Bible, you know, the prodigal son's a good example of it, how the father, you know, he's given his inheritance to his son, and he goes off and squanders it all off and goes the wrong direction and blows all his inheritance. But the father, he's waiting for him to come back. And, you know, when he does come back, he's rejoicing. He's there with open arms to receive him. He's throwing a party. And that's the way God is with him. I mean, he's patiently. He wants us to come back. He wants to give us good things. God's been patient through, just read the Bible, how patient he was with the Israelites. I mean, ever since Adam and Eve. I mean, come on. God's been patient. I know he's been patient with me many times. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect. Is anybody out there perfect?
No.
No, you're going to mess up. You're gonna, and God's been patient with you to come around. Oh, my goodness. I think, you know, he's looking at us now and thinking, oh, my goodness. But that helps you when you realize, you know, God's been patient with you for a long, long, long time. So maybe we can be a little patient with him on receiving, huh? Number three, remember how God has been faithful in the past. Boy, that can help you be just to stand fast and to endure. I mean, remember that sometimes maybe, you know, he's provided for you when you didn't know how you're going to pay this bill or that bill. And he's came through and provided for you. Maybe he's healed you in the past. You know, if he's done it again once, he can do it again. Think of how he's protected you. I mean, I know, I was just talking about this the other day with my wife. One of my old friends, you know, got a new Harley, and it always, you know, summer comes around, and I can't help it. I think I need a Harley again. I mean, it's just something that I grew up, you know, as a young kid. You know, I bought my first motorcycle when I was in fifth grade, and I liked riding motorcycles. I like motorcycles, but we were just talking about how, man, God, it had really protected me because I was stupid and idiot, you know, back when I was riding sometimes, you know, might have been intoxicated, and how God had protected me and kept me alive. He had better plans for me. And thank God I came back to the Lord and he's he saved me for a time like this. So remember how God's been faithful in the past and helps you to wait on the Lord and be patient. And number four, trust God for present and future. What do I mean by that? Have faith that God has a plan, and he's already working on it. And as I said before, his timing, say his timing. In his timing, you will see it. You know, he's already working on it. He's working on the when we don't see. Just like we know what the nation really now, right now, is dealing with this administration and what's going on. I believe God's working. You know, some of us, you know, get a little impatient or a little aggravated and say, well, when's this going to happen? What's going on? When's it going to happen? Well, I believe he's working on it, and in his timing, we're going to see it. And there's a scripture in Psalms 37:7, I think, is very good for this time we're in right now. It says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways when they carry out their wicked schemes. we're going to see God come through here in His timing. This nation is going to be turning around for His glory. Things are going to, revival's actually already here. It's going on. But these wicked schemes that these people are taking on, they're going to be held accountable. They're going to be judged. And in God's timing, things are going to be turned around. We got to believe that He's working on it. He's got a plan. And lastly, how we develop our patience is, I think, you know, we just need to count our blessings. Be thankful. Be thankful for what you do have and what God's already been done for you. I mean, we've all got something, you know, that we can be thankful for. And I mean, if nothing else, be thankful that, you got a house that you can go home to in this heat. Mm-hmm. And hopefully everybody's got air conditioning that's working. And, you know, you got a roof over your head, you got some food on the table. I mean, there's something that you can count your blessings for. So, number one, again, let's go through these developments. Understanding that God's timing is not our timing. His timing is always the right timing. Number two, appreciate how patient is God, how patient God is with you. Three, remember how God has been faithful in the past. Number four, trust God for the present and the future. And then count your blessings. Now, I've been talking about how we be patient through times and how basically we're being patient with God. But there's another part of being patient, and that's being patient with others. Oh, man. But really, I mean, how can you be patient with God when you can't be patient with someone you see? But on the other hand, I look at it this way too. How can I be patient with others if I don't learn to be developed and have my patience and have that relationship with God? And I really believe that's where it starts with. You really got to have that relationship with God and understand and know how to develop your patience and have that patience with Him before you can really be patient with others. Just like, how can I love people if I don't understand the love of God? I need to have that understanding first before I can truly love others the way God loves people. Mm-hmm. It says there in Ephesians 4:2 in the NIV, it says, be humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. And 1 Corinthians 13:4, like I thought, it says, love is patient and kind. So that's what we see in the Bible. I just looked up in the dictionary, see what the dictionary says about patience. It says the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset, without complaining. Now, having patience means being able to wait calmly in the face of frustration or adversity. You know, so patience is a good thing. It's a good attribute to have, because patience puts us in direct control of ourselves. When we're patient, it gives us time to respond to whatever situation, whatever adversity, whatever thing that we come across, or whatever person we come across. It gives us time to reflect and to have a response, without responding from emotions. You know, we want to emotionally, if someone done something to us or something, we want to, our emotions, you know, we want to get them, you know, or respond quick. But if you have patience, you know, kind of stand back, reflect, take a moment, be calm, think about the situation, before we respond to that situation. Zion, I don't know what time is it. It's going to be early, but I'm going to end with this. Is that all right? Have you been patient long enough for me? But this goes with being patient with others. Proverbs 15:18 says, hot tempers causes arguments, but patience brings peace. You know, we can argue. We need to be patient with others. I mean, even in the body of Christ, you know, there's people that are in different maturity levels with their faith walk. You know, we can get aggravated with people's like, why aren't you getting this? You know, especially as pastors, I know, but you're like, you're preaching to the people and you say, I've talked about this, I'm preaching this, and you're still coming up to me with this, but we got to be patient. We can't get aggravated at people because, you know, like it says, hot tempers just argue. I mean, we can argue about different things, what we believe, or who said this, who said that. Do you think I'm right? Do you think they're right? Let's have some patience. Because just like God's timing, time will tell. I mean, just like the things with all, you know, people talk about the prophets and whatever. Well, you know, you don't need to argue about it or get concerned about it. I mean, time will tell who's right, who's wrong. And God, we'll know by the fruits. So we just got to have patience. Because in God's timing, everything will be revealed. So anyway, that's what I have about patience. There's so much more in the Bible that talks about patience. When I started looking this up, I'm thinking, wow, there's scripture after scripture after scripture about it. So it's definitely something that's obviously important to have, and I believe it's definitely something that you're going to have to be able to endure and stand while you're standing in faith. Because, I mean, the suddenlies are awesome. I mean, it's great to have the suddenlies, but let's be honest with ourselves. The suddenlies don't always happen that often. But one of the keys, and I think what I mentioned earlier, is to expect. You know, expect some of those suddenlies. Expect God's going to do what he said he's going to do. You know, I've told that story many times about, you know, and I use this because it was just like one of those miraculous things to me is about the healing of my heel. I mean, I've had God heal me many times, little things, just, you know, I could tell you time and time and things. But this was something that, to me, was almost miraculous because when you're in severe pain and it just leaves and it's gone, that is a suddenly. But, you know, when I tell that story, I do leave out some things because, and I got to thinking about it when I was talking about patience and about expectation because, you know, that day, that night, I wasn't going to go to church because I was in too much pain. But I came to myself thinking, okay, if I'm going to receive anything, I need to be at church. I need to be there, and I'm going to go there expecting to receive something. So my expectation was high. I was going there believing that that's where I needed to be. And that's where I'm going to receive if I want some healing. I mean, I believe God could heal me. I mean, before I ever went there, I believe in healing, but I wasn't getting it yet. But I went there expecting to receive something. I didn't know that I was going to get healed like that night. But we had a praise service, a praise and worship service, and the pastor said, "The anointed God, he's here. If you need healing, just receive it now." And that's what I did. And just like that, I was healed of that. I mean, I was going and getting, you know, it's like Miss Deb's here. I was getting cortisone shots every once in a while to relieve it. But, you know, I just received it, got up on that stage, just stomping my heel, just stomping my heels, and received that healing. God is faithful, man. Yeah. If he healed me, he can heal you. If he's done things in the past for you, he can do it again. Just believe God, expect God, that he is going to stand on his word, because all his promises are yes and amen. So be patient. God's working on it. He's going to do it. Just don't give up. Don't be weary. Just stand in faith. Be patient, because the time is coming. You are going to receive what you're believing for. Amen?
That's right.
All right. That's all I have for tonight.